step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my guide. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you have provided for each and every one of us. And Lord, I ask that you continue those provisions. We thank you for this past year. And Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts. Show us exactly what we need to do for you, for your ministry, and for our lives. Allow our minds to be open to hearing the message that you have created for today. And Lord, guide us on how to apply this message into our lives. And Lord, just open up doors and show us who it is that is in need of you. Allow us to be the workers to bring those people into your light and to bring them into your house. And Lord, we ask that you guide those people's hearts and give them an overwhelming desire to come into your house. And Lord, our focus is whatever it is that you need us to do. Our focus is your ministry. And Lord, we thank you for calling us into your ministry. We thank you for the visitors that we have. And we thank you for the members that we have. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. Let's worship our Lord and Savior.
Isaiah 48, verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.
Thank you. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Welcome, welcome to our service today, whether you're here in person, online watching, or listening on KCFJ AM 570. I want to welcome each and every one of you here to this service today. In today's society, Christianity is generally viewed negatively. Why is that? This is because many people in churches today behave one way inside of the church building, and then they completely are different outside of the building. Or they will look down on people for not fitting a specific mold or a profile of the type of people that they want inside of that building. The general public of non-Christians view these kinds of actions as being hypocritical, and rightly so. I have said this repeatedly, and I'm going to continue to say it. The churches in this nation that act like that are following a little g-god religion. They are following false teachings, and they are wrong. Because of that false view that they have of God, we are a church of imperfect people. We're broken. We have experienced God's love in many different ways. We have received His grace through Jesus. It inspires gratitude in our lives, and it gives us hope in those who are hurting. But that doesn't make us perfect. It doesn't make the church a perfect place. This is a church that will always follow the truth of God's word. We are not perfect people. And we don't seek perfect individuals to be inside of this building. We are members of a church who love everyone, no matter who they are. We are broken. We are fallible. And we will always welcome other broken, fallible people who have been hurt throughout all walks of life. And why is this? Because we are the body of Christ. We're not here to impose a bunch of rules and regulations on society. We are here to learn how to build a relationship with Jesus, with God the Father, and their Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior of this world. He is the reason why love exists. He is the gift from God that is available for everybody who is willing to accept Him. He brings encouragement. It's encouraging to see the sense of the personal decisions that people have made to have that relationship with Him. It's encouraging for me to see that. The title of this message is True Love. We will be in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. I'm going to be reading from the New King James today. Now, this entire month of December, we have been celebrating the birth of a real person who literally walked on this earth. And His name is Jesus. He came into this world in humility for those of us who are broken. And during these Advent weeks, we have been exploring the Christmas story from different angles. We have been learning about side characters of the total story. Now, I'm going to take a few moments to look at the perspective of the Magi. Now, the Magi we know today as the wise men. We as Christians celebrated Jesus' birth last Thursday, not because we believe that the actual day that He was born was that day, because He wasn't. Jesus was born in either March or April in the year 2 BC. He was born on what, now this is my opinion, based on Scripture, but He was born on what we now call Palm Sunday. Christmas celebrates God's love through Jesus, not the actual date of His birth. And in fact, around 350 AD, Pope Julius I designated December 25th as the day to celebrate Jesus' birth. It was symbolizing the winter solstice and the gift of God's love entering into this world amid the darkness, which inspired reverence and joy. And although Pope Julius I is credited with establishing the Christmas celebration, I firmly believe that the Scriptures are the true origin of the holiday of Christmas. Take a look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him." Now, many theologians believe that the wise men came from the Oriental kingdom. They were the sorcerers of that time period, the magicians, which is why they're called the Magi. Scripture states that the moment Jesus was born, a star was shining over the location where He was. At the moment of birth, it was above the stable. We all need to understand that in the first century, travel took a very long time. The wise men traveling from the Orient to Jerusalem would have taken roughly 9 months to traverse across Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, and into Judah. That's a long distance. Christmas is not actually the day of Jesus' birth, but it is the celebration of the gifts that were given to Him. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. You see, Christmas is the day when the wise men visited Jesus' home in Bethlehem. Verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're no longer in the stable. It had been some time after his birth. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, there was roughly 9 months since his birth, and they were now living in a house. The question now is, why those gifts? What is the significance of gold and frankincense and myrrh? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Gold is a symbol of great wealth. It's a symbol of power. But most importantly, it's the symbol of kingship. They are recognizing that he is the king here on earth. Frankincense. Frankincense is a luxurious oil, and it is used for religious rituals. And it is a symbol of priesthood. And then myrrh. An herb that is used in burial rituals. It symbolizes death. The Magi is sharing with us from the very beginning. They're giving us the inside scoop of Jesus' entire life through those three gifts, which is probably why they are now called the wise men. Jesus is the King of Kings with a mission to teach us what we need to know about being children of God. It also gives us the reassurance that his sacrifice is absolutely a gift of God's unconditional love. And it's available to everyone. But you have to believe and accept Jesus as your Savior. Our Christmas celebration honors Jesus with gifts, reminding us that God's greatest gift is his love. And it's available to everyone who believes in him. But I want you to also keep in mind, and don't think about Christmas as only giving gifts to other people. Now, I'll give you more on that in just a minute, though. Throughout this month, we have been studying not just the themes of Advent, but also the people involved. I'll give you a little recap. During the first week of Advent, we examined the hope through Elizabeth. We learned about the oppression of the Jewish people, the sustaining hope of the expected Messiah, and the eternal hope that Jesus brings. Our second week, we saw the announcement of being in peace, conveyed through the humbled shepherds in the field. We learned about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and how he gives us inner peace despite the chaos that's happening all around us. Jesus is the only reason why peace even exists here on earth. Last week, Pastor Bill brought some inside scoops on the Christmas that almost wasn't, with the story of Joseph's struggle to accept this gift from God. And this week, we're going to learn about a new kind of love that is shown and given to us solely by Jesus. And as we're going through this, I want you to think of this question. Where does love come from? With that being said, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And so the question, where does love come from? God. He started it. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into this world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Are you starting to see it? Do you see it? This is the true Christmas story. God demonstrates His great love for us by sending His Son to us. He did this to establish a deep, powerful love relationship with each and every person, every human being. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen, and we have testified, that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's because God sent His Son into the world to save us. What are we needing to be saved from? Sin. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, which is a punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, if you grew up in a Christian home, oh, by the way, you may be seated. If you grew up in a Christian home, I have a question for you, because I didn't. And my question is as you were growing up, did you ever think that God was watching you at all times? That He's going to catch you doing something that is considered a sin? Did you have fear that He was going to punish you for those things? I mean, I don't know, because I didn't come into a Christian life until I was 40. Were any of you afraid of God while growing up? People told me that God loved me. I didn't understand what that meant. If you really want to understand Christmas, though, you first receive and you first have intimately knowledge. You get to know God intimately for His love for you. Now, finishing off that, verse 19 says, we love Him, God, because He first loved us. There's three key points that we need to understand to view Christmas properly. Number one, sin is the reason for that season. What did the angel tell Joseph? Well, look at Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Why did God come? Because of our sin. Because of your sin. The point is made in Dr. Luke's Christmas story. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This baby is being called a Savior from the very beginning. Now this raises a question. What do we need saved from? The answer is still sin. Love is the motive for this season also. The first time that love is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Has anyone ever read and wondered why the specific location of the land of Moriah? Why is that mentioned? And where is that? You go to any map, you're not going to find anything called Moriah. If you have, I'm about to give you that answer. The first time love is mentioned in the Bible, it refers to a man's love for his son. This verse also predicts the sacrifice of Christ. Here is the prominent part of that, though. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Now the not so obvious part of it. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What is the significance of the one of the mountains in the land of Moriah? Mount Moriah, where Abraham took Isaac. He built an altar, he put Isaac on it, and he was about to sacrifice him when God stopped him and provided him a lamb to sacrifice instead. That is the exact location where that altar was. It is the exact location of where the Temple Mount in Jerusalem was located. Did you know that? The Temple Mount is the actual site where the Sanhedrin met, tried Jesus, and sentenced him to death. Jesus was brought by his father to the temple, the altar on Mount Moriah, to be sacrificed. The first time the word love appears in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The first time love appears in the Bible, it is in the context of the sacrifice of an only son. The first time love appears in the New Testament is in the context of God's only son who will be sacrificed. It's as if God reserved that word both times to highlight the depth of the gift that is being given. Now, what makes a great Christmas gift? Value, rarity, the personalization that that gift is to you, and also how useful it is. Contrary to popular belief, Christmas is not about giving gifts. It's about receiving. It is about receiving this incredible gift of love from God. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Romans 5, 8 through 12. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Verse 11. "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one person sin entered into this world," meaning Adam, "and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." All too often, we as human beings will blame God for this broken world, a broken world that he has come into to redeem. "If God loved me, he would give me this," or he would give me that. And if it doesn't happen, they blame God. Or if God loved me, he wouldn't have taken my loved one away from me. The list continues on. God is your heavenly Father, and he loves you so much that he gave his son, sacrificed his life. He sent his son to earth to take on your limitations, to suffer, and to die for your sins so that he can have a relationship with you. That's intense. You get to decide, though, what the response of this season truly is. You see, the season's reason is sin. That's you and me. The season's motive is love. That's God. The season's response is entirely up to each and every one of us. What if on Christmas morning, though, your whole family is sitting around the tree opening gifts? You can't, and your special someone, your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, is about to give you a gift. And you know that this gift is coming. And it's a special gift for that person to be giving to you. It takes on a lot of time and effort to prepare that gift and to get it ready for you. And the gift is given to you. You open it. You look at it. You say, no, thank you. What kind of pain would that bring the person that gave you that gift? What kind of hurt and suffering? Imagine and channel that hurt and suffering of denying that gift. That is how God feels when we reject his gift. That is how he feels. He's destroyed. He's heartbroken. When you say no thank you to the salvation by denying his son, Jesus Christ, into your life, it destroys his feelings. It breaks his heart. How should we respond to this information, though? There's only two options. You can receive this gift of love by surrendering your entire life, your will, your everything to God and fully trusting in him with your life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or you can do whatever you want to do. Live your life exactly how you want to live it. Follow your own way in this life. But you can't do both. In conclusion, today God is giving you an incredible gift. The question is, are you going to open it and accept it? Are you ready to accept the gift of salvation? Are you ready to embrace the true love in your life? Today is the day to begin a new life for yourself. As 2025 is coming to a close within just a couple of days, everyone should reach certain realizations. Realization number one is simply a fact. You cannot go through this life alone. You can't do it by yourself. Every single human being on this earth needs help in some way, some fashion, or some form. You might be thinking to yourself, nah, I got this. Everything's been going great throughout my life. I'm good. I've been doing great to this point, so why bother? How many people are suffering from depression, addictions? How many people are suffering through memories of things that happened in their past that they cannot break away from? Who has been struggling with those mental burdens or even the unnatural deaths of loved ones? Before Jesus, I was all about me. I didn't care about anybody else. I had no desire or love for humanity. None. I was so self-absorbed that I believed I was fine. I believed I was in complete control of my life. Guess what? I wasn't. And I made some big mistakes in that life. And I faced major consequences because of it. I'm telling you right here, right now, from someone who's experienced the hardships of life in extreme measures for many years, you don't need to make your own big mistakes. You don't have to try to figure it out, these things in life. Ever since I have accepted that gift from God, even though things haven't been easy, our lives have not been smooth to live. But with God guiding us through all of it, it has become a lot easier to handle. We look back on those times in our lives with deep gratitude that Jesus had taken the wheel of our life and He guided us through those rough roads. And He's ready to do that for you right here, right now. He's not only ready, but He's willing and able to do the same for you. And all you have to do is accept Jesus today. Begin a sincere relationship of love with the only Savior of this world. Now, the second realization is that we are all separated from God. If you die with that separation, you will face eternal separation from your actual Creator. That separation is going to send your soul into everlasting death in hell. Hell is a real place. It is an actual death sentence for eternity. Let your mind grasp how long eternity is. People claim that hell is not in the Bible. It is described in Scripture in two ways across 50 separate verses. The first way is by the word Sheol, and it is mentioned 18 times across 18 verses. Psalm 18:5 is one of them. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Does that sound like fun? Hell is mentioned 32 times in 32 separate verses. Here's one of them. Psalm 55:15. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. When a person dies, they do not cease to exist. Their physical body no longer exists, but the person inside of that body does. It's their soul. It's your soul. It's my soul. That is who we are. And that is what is being sent alive to feel the pain and suffering, to experience it. The person does not ever cease to exist. When you die, you will live on forever. It is up to you today in your physical body to decide where you will exist for eternity. And there is only one decision to make for your eternal existence. But there's two different options. Number one option, you can choose heaven. And all you have to do right here, right now, is accept Jesus into your life, build a genuine relationship with the only Savior of this world, and that is called Team Jesus. Or the other option, you can choose hell. You can reject Jesus. You can reject God's gift for your life. You can follow a false teaching from a false teacher that has formed a false view of God in your life. That is Team Satan. There's no other way to look at this. Accept Jesus today in order to go to heaven at the end of your life on earth. Or reject Jesus and God's actual teachings and face eternal hell that you will experience. It doesn't matter what sins that you are creating in your life today. If you think you need to get right with God before you can go to church or before you can have this relationship with God, guess what? That'll never happen. You will never be right with God without the help of the Holy Spirit. In order to get the Holy Spirit, you have to have a relationship with Christ. You have to have accepted Him into your life, and then He sends the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide you through this life. We all face daily struggles with sin. All of us. Myself, yourself, people online, on the radio, every human being suffers with daily struggles. But it is only through the Holy Spirit of God that we can actually repent, meaning to turn away from those sins and not go back to them. I'm asking you today, come to God. You have entered into His house. Approach His cross. Invite Jesus into your life. There's only two options. You're either going to accept being on Team Jesus and develop a sincere love relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and their Holy Spirit, or you are not. Accepting means receiving eternal life in heaven. Or you will choose to stay on Team Satan. You will remain separated from God. You will face eternal death in hell. And guess what? None of us know when that moment's going to be. Quite a few years ago, just prior to accepting Christ, I went to church with my mom and dad. It was Mother's Day. My mom begged me to go, and I went. And there was another man there that his mother begged him to go. He was not a Christian. He was a biker. And I remember tears flowing down his face at the end of that message. But he did not accept Christ. He told his mom, "I'm not ready yet." On his way home from service, he hit an elk on his motorcycle and he died. We don't know when our time is. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, right now is that moment. The decision is yours, though. But I'm going to ask you, choose carefully. Choose wisely. I say all of this not to fill in time or to put words into the air. I say these things because I love you. Every one of you. Whether I know you or not, there's a lot of people online that are watching. I don't know them personally, but I still love them. I still love you. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want you all in heaven with your Father in heaven, because God loves you more than you could ever realize. We're coming up to the new year. And every year, people make changes in their life to bring a better them. I'm asking, let's make a better you. Accept Christ into your life today. Allow Him to change the trajectory of your life into a better situation. Have a blessed week.
Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Please stand and sing our final song.
Sweet, come to me, oh, let close us out in prayer, please.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your gift of love and your gift of your Son, Father. Help us to establish a better relationship with you, Father. Help us to be the people that you would have us to be. Lead us and guide us and let your will be done in our lives, Father. Bring us back at the next appointed time to worship you and praise you and hear your words. And help us each day to remember what you have done. Help us to be grateful. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Eddie Hove, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message, right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.